Welcome back to Factory Sealed. It is December 2nd, 2018. My name's Eric Peterson. Joining me today, Mr. Mike Tyson.
Shabba!
What?
Shabba.
Shabba.
You know, like what Shaggy says.
Shabba?
Although Mr. Lovekin. Shabba.
Although I'm led to believe that it wasn't him. So.
Sounds like a bad Jewish holiday.
Shabba, everyone. Shabba.
Like, Shabba, he's not really Jewish. He doesn't know what he's talking about. We got Dan Curtis.
Shabba.
All right.
It is the Christmas. You know, like when we start recording and sometimes it's a little bit low key than normal, I just have to say something to try and get you guys laughing at the start, and I think I succeeded.
I think that's going to be the new Wagwan.
Wagwan, Shabba.
Well, see, I've been doubling down on the idea of calling our audience members the Breadwens. Maybe we should call them the Shabbas.
Oh no! So jumping ahead here, we have an email that kind of pertains directly to this. Our friend from
what to Shabba? That was preemptive.
No. To what we call our followers. It comes from our friend in Australia, Mr. Scale Enley. I'm not going to read the whole email, but. I'm going to pull it up so I get his exact phrasing here, had a suggestion on what we should call those who listen to us on a regular basis. And no, it is not Shabba.
Is it Shabba guys?
Here we go.
Shabba guys!
P.S. The Factory Sealed community should be called the Seal Club, and individuals, Seal Clubbers.
Oh, God.
Okay. So I've just Googled Shabba, and there's two things. One is a root word for, which I may be pronouncing wrong, Shabbia is Shabbos, is the original Hebrew plural meaning feasts of weeks rather. This isn't fucking English. Why? Can you put this in a proper sentence, please? Anyway, it means something, but also there's a song called Shabba, but then also on Urban Dictionary, it says Shabba, yeah. a word to be shouted whenever you feel like it for no reason whatsoever.
I'm going for a tom tit. Shabba! Oh, see, look at this. Yeah, Shabbos. Saturday is Shabbos, Jewish day of rest. I wasn't incorrect.
Yeah, you were close. I prefer the Urban Dictionary definition, if I'm honest.
It's on that song, isn't it, Mr. Loverman? You know the one?
Mr. Lava Lava. Yeah, with Shaggy.
No, when it goes... He shouts it, doesn't he?
No, it's not Shaggy.
Yeah, it is.
No, but Shaggy does shout it.
It's not Shabba Ranks.
Oh, he does. Mr. Lover Lover Shabba. Oh, Shabba Ranks.
But this also, and then it goes, Mr. Lover Man, and then somebody in the background goes, Shabba!
Yeah, I'm sure Shaggy does it as well. He's like, girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. Shabba!
I think that's right.
In the back, doesn't he? I'm sure he does.
No, he doesn't.
Wasn't it on Bohemian Rhapsody and everything, that Shabba noise? Just intersperse it into songs.
Oh, is this the real life?
Shabba! Shabba!
The outtakes from the middle bit. Galileo, Galileo,
Shabba,
Shabba,
Shabba! No, no, it's Galileo.
Shabba Leo.
I'm just a poor now, boy. Shabba me.
We never mentioned it, but a while back I can't remember what I was in relation to on the Facebook community, but I made up an entire factory sealed version of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that was for the
Dan C. Gilbert did one for his Eric's Head competition.
Yes.
He did.
Relating it all back to me.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
And then you just redid it.
I see a little silhouette of a Mega Man.
Shababoo, shababoo. Shaba to you, Mike. Shaba.
Oh, shaba to you,
Eric. Sounds like a meditation podcast.
Shaba.
Wagwan, my brethren. Shaba to you.
So,
close your eyes and listen to the sounds of the waves lapping against the shore.
Shaba.
You are alone in the
world. Shaba.
So there's a sitcom.
Find your Shaba.
There's a sitcom over here in the UK called Friday Night Dinner, and the family in it are Jewish, and there's this next door neighbor character that always comes around, this like a proper, he doesn't quite understand like Jewish families or anything like that, and he always just comes in going shalom. It just makes me think of that.
Well,
we always used to do, I used to work with somebody called Callum, and when he used to come in, we always used to go shalom de Callum.
Based on that picture alone, I want to watch that.
Sorry?
Based on that picture alone right there, I want to watch that show.
That is the next door neighbor, Jim. What was I going to say? Yeah,
Shaba!
Marvels me how we can literally take one word and make like several minutes of content out of it.
This show would get done so much quicker, and I get my food quicker if we just didn't mess about.
The show would get done much quicker if we didn't say words.
Shaba!
Christy, lock the door. No, Christy, lock the door. Ooh. Yeah, Christy, lock the door.
Oh, Christy's on the show. Shaba, Christy! Shaba!
Shaba! She brought me French toast. Shaba for the French toast!
Did she come back and ask you what the hell you were about?
No, because I had her lock the door. I had her lock the door on the way out.
God.
She's probably standing on the ground. What the fuck is Shaba?
Well, I said to you yesterday, didn't I? Is Christy prepared for like the idiocy of all four of us being in her house?
She's 100% prepared. A, she's been married to me for 10 years, but she also knows.
Poor woman.
Yeah, I know. She's well versed in the idiocy, mainly because she's hung out with me and Scott Girardi, who is quite tuned into our idiocy.
How often do police sirens go past your house?
Actually, police sirens not very often. Police helicopters quite frequently.
Oh, okay.
Do you know how we had to put our pinkies up in the UK when the sirens went by? If a police helicopter comes by, do we have to put our hand on a heart?
No, you just fire your pistol into the sky.
Okay. All right.
Shaba!
Note to self. Note to self. Pack pistol.
That'll go nicely with my cocaine.
Yes, make sure you bring lots of cocaine.
Oh yeah,
don't do drugs, kids.
I'm allowed in the country.
Damn it.
Yeah, I only had to tell him for about 3 weeks solid to do it.
Oh God, regarding that, there was a news story over here the other day. A guy from Scotland in his 70s was filling out his ESTA, which is the visa for us to get into the US. And there's an actual question on there.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing, but it's something along the lines of like, are you or have you ever been involved in terrorism? And he accidentally ticked yes, and now they won't let him in the country.
Yeah, it was literally the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I remember doing it, and I had to call Crystal over. I was like, look at this question. And I was like,
to ask her for help. Am I a terrorist?
Have I committed genocide recently? It literally says that. It says something about genocide.
Help me remember. What? Last Saturday's a bit foggy. Did I dabble in genocide?
Now, hang on. If a terrorist was applying, they're going to sit there and go, have I been involved in genocide? Yes.
Well, shit, I want to be honest.
Why is there no Shaba option on this form?
Shaba.
So yeah, that was ridiculous. I forgot to mention that. Thanks for pointing that one out, Mike.
It's all right.
I was like, in what situation would you tick yes?
The thing that I don't understand. I know the guy was like in his 70s, But when you fill that out online, at the very end of it, it makes you literally read through and confirm each individual section again.
Yes. So just because you're 70 doesn't mean you're an idiot.
Yeah, well, apparently he was.
Yeah, clearly. Didn't they spaz that story about the girl who's called ABCDE or whatever it is?
Oh, Absidy. Oh, what a
That's actually becoming a popular name over here.
Really?
Yeah, we had a student named Absidy and another kid in her class named Definest. And Savior, and then I...
Yo, you the finest!
Shabba the finest!
The finest, what you doing for Shabba this year?
Wagwan the finest, you Shabba today!
God's sake. Please don't unsubscribe, we'll stop.
No, we won't.
No, we won't.
Come back, Gamer Grandpa.
1 out of 5 stars, it was Shabba. Do you know what I find hilarious?
Shabba?
These past few days, which we're probably going to speak about anyway, like, we're trying to make more of a push on social media than we have been. And that could potentially bring in some new listeners. This is what they're getting.
Yep. Hey, welcome to Factory Sealed, Shabba! But you know what? In truth, it's
a greeting.
It's a perfect encapsulation of the show as a whole. We're not very serious.
Yeah. But you say that, Mike, but people have a tendency to come in on random episodes. Sometimes on the latest, sometimes on the first, sometimes in the middle. They just pick what game they like.
Oh, God, I shouldn't eat the rest of this French toast.
It's giving me a bad case of Shabba.
I'd already eaten breakfast, and she came in the door with a plate full of it. And she's like, here you go. I'm like, I've already eaten. She just looks so dejected. I'm like, well,
that's not the American way, is it, Eric?
I guess I'll eat it.
you say that, but he didn't eat much when he was in England.
I don't know. Like, I felt like we were constantly eating the entire time.
Yeah, I felt like that's like, all we did. I looked at my credit card bill when I got home, and it was beer, coffee, and food.
Yeah,
that
but
was it.
You never ate... Or when you were eating the meals, you would always leave loads. And I was like, are you sure you're American? Because when Chives was there, when you were having your bangers and mash, and I distinctly remember you left quite a lot of it.
I was just, you know, when in Rome...
He was nervous. That man in the background was looking at him.
Nervous appetite. Appetite dysfunction. You know, like erectile, but with my throat.
I don't get it.
It's when your penis doesn't... I'm not going to... I'm going to stop.
Well, no, it doesn't work, so don't bother.
Yeah. So,
where were we? I don't think we even started, to be honest.
How are you guys?
Perfectly shopper, thank you.
Mike, it's been a month since we've seen you.
Yeah. I've been to the sports.
You went to a hockey game.
Yeah, not just that, right? So I hate sport. I just generally don't watch it. And
sports.
Last weekend I went to go watch some soccer.
Soccer.
And I went to an ice hockey game last night for the first time ever.
How fun is that?
What's next, Tiddlywinks?
Yeah, possibly. No, the ice hockey was fun, man. Football, still not for me. It's like the second time I've ever been to a proper football match, and yeah, still not
I
for me.
I hate football. So
soccer.
Much.
Soccer.
Ended up seeing, like, for this conversation, we're seeing football.
Can we play footy kickers?
If I talk about
Oh my
American
God, can
football,
we please... Can we please play a kicky rounders when we're over?
Oh, fuck yeah. We've got a huge park. We'll go play kicky rounders.
Yes!
Factory sealed kicky rounders.
I haven't played it since I was about 5, but...
Wait, we should have enough to do guys against girls. Oh, wait, no. We'll be one short. Dan's coming stag.
Yeah.
Stuff Crystal in your bag. Bring her with.
Crystal's not real, as we must remember.
Yeah, I really don't believe she exists. That girl holding the toilet paper in the blizzard was just Dan.
That was Cheryl. No,
that was an actor. It actually cost £100.
It's like, I gotta keep up the sham. Yeah, we can play kicky rounders.
Excellent.
I'll, if anything, we'll bring my mom and she can fill in.
Awesome. Ice hockey, fun. Even though it's UK ice hockey, it feels like it's still very Americanized. So like constantly sponsors constantly being yelled over the microphone, the tannoy, and you know there's all the music in between each part of the game and everything like that. And it felt just like it was like proper entertainment rather than just going and watching the football. And it was good fun.
I think I would probably die of some sort of boredom if I went to a soccer match. I see it on TV, and just when I like pass over the channel, I feel myself falling asleep.
I mean, they had me right at the beginning, because the Sheffield Steelers are quite big here, and their home bit is Sheffield Arena. And they had me at the very, very start, because obviously they play a lot of music at the beginning to get everyone hyped up. And within the music package, there was the Pretender by Foo Fighters, and then Triple H's Time to Play the Game entrance music. I was like, right, they got me.
Well, yeah, they have to distract you from how damn boring that game is. All right, for the next 6 hours, you're going to watch these dudes run up and down the field and occasionally fall down.
I'm talking about ice hockey, you goon.
I'm about the ice hockey.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... No,
they don't do that at the football. The football's just boring.
Yeah, all around.
But it was good. I wasn't expecting it to, like, because in America, obviously, they get into fights and stuff, and I wasn't expecting that. But no, I saw a fight. That was fun. Some dude proposed to his girlfriend on the big screen.
Did she say no?
No, she said yes.
Damn it.
Oh, for God's sake.
There was kids flossing on the dance cam. And
of course.
Yeah, it was all good fun.
I love going to hockey matches. I can't stand watching hockey on TV, but when you go there, it's just an absolute blast.
Yeah, it was good. We got really good seats too. Since we moved here, Hazel's been on about going because she used to go watch it when she lived here before. And I was on my way home on Friday and heard on the radio that there was tickets available, and just on a whim bought some and went last night. And yeah,
how much did they cost you?
They were like £17 each.
Oh Jesus, wow. They're really expensive.
Tell everybody else about what you did on a whim, Mike.
Oh yeah, I bought Hazel a real Christmas tree.
Oh,
rather than a fake one.
It's almost like he doesn't really hate Christmas.
No, I do hate
Didn't
Christmas.
Didn't something go horribly awry with it, though?
Well, everyone has told me that I've probably bought it far too soon and it's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do any research into the care of it whatsoever, so I didn't realize that, one, I needed to saw off the bottom so it can soak up water better, and I don't own a saw. Realized we needed something to put it in. Then I realized that we don't really have the space for it, so I'm going to have to move loads of shit around. It's just caused me misery. The entire thing's caused me misery. I got it this morning. Hazel bought like a small hacksaw for me to try and saw the bottom off. When I got up this morning, I was like, I'll do that first. And we had it in a bowl of water in the kitchen, and I lifted the tree out and then knocked the bowl of water over, so I had water all over the kitchen this morning. And then tried sawing through it and it wouldn't work. And Hazel came downstairs like, what's wrong? I was like, it's a fucking Christmas tree. It caused me nothing but fucking misery. Fucking hate Christmas.
So
it's a magical time of the year.
In an effort to enjoy Christmas more, he actually made himself enjoy it less.
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing was, on my Facebook memories yesterday, I have no idea what the context was, but a couple of years ago, I had like some moany status saying, that's it, I'm done with Christmas already this year. I tried, everyone, I tried. And Hazel even commented on it saying, yeah, he did try, but I have no idea what it was. But something pissed me off.
Tried to go down the town centre to do some Christmas shopping and then just, no, you don't.
Possibly. But no, it's all sorted now. It's in the living room. Hazel hasn't decorated yet.
Wait till you have to vacuum up all the needles, and then you have to worry about
picking
about
your feet for the next month.
Catching on fire.
There's already loads everywhere, so I've got to sort that out after.
We've got one of those fake trees, which is covered in fake snow, so every time you take it out of the box, it tends to go... So 12 months later, after we got it last year, I'm still finding bits of snow around the house.
We finally caved in and just bought one that was completely pre-lit. Perfect. Plug it in. Done.
Does it play the Stars and Stripes?
Well, it's just spray painted red, white, and blue. And when you plug it in, it just plays the national anthem.
I just imagine your tree has an American eagle on the top.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Well, the American flag.
I'm redecorating all of the rooms for when you guys get here. I need to make sure that you really feel truly American.
Oh, God.
Red, white, and blue walls. American flag blankets. American Eagle pillows.
I wonder if I can fit my giant flag in my suitcase.
Don't bring that damn thing back here. Actually, you should, and then we can take it around town and straddle with it.
Take it to the Rumble.
Oh my God. And piss off the 40 rows behind us. Just get it on telescoping sticks so we can get it way up there.
Well, we're kind of up in the rafters anyway, aren't we? So
yeah, I suppose.
I've already got my sign planned, so
Jesus Christ.
You know, I'm taking Eric's head to the WWE.
Can you do it so like the bottom part of the head like comes off like a mouth? You know, like how the Canadians are in South Park.
Oh God!
Like cut it like just straight across, but it's still just a mouth.
Yeah, we might have to have one of the days to be a craft day so I can make the sign.
At one of our national sales meeting, some people took a picture of our boss's head and photocopied it and made it probably about 4 feet tall by 2 feet wide, really high res prints, and put them on these sticks and stuck them all around the office. So then they're just 2 years later, they're just still just kicking around, and people occasionally be walking around with this guy's head on a stick.
That sounds like exactly what would happen if Factory Sealed had an office.
Factory Sealed HQ.
Nothing would get done. Game stuff, guys. We should talk about something game related.
Yules.
The PlayStation Classic comes out tomorrow.
Meh.
Indifferent?
Meh.
Eh?
Meh.
I was on the verge of canceling it, and then I got the shipping notifications for both of mine and went, well, I guess I'm getting at least one.
I just don't know. I didn't bite for the NES or SNES Classic.
Do you think the mini console craze is finally coming to an end?
I think a lot's missing from the PS Classic. I think that's what's putting people off.
Well, everything that I read about
that
it
as well.
What's that?
Sorry, Eric. But I said, well, there's that. You know, this thing's missing from it. But I think I know. Obviously, PlayStation 1 is a retro console. It's very nostalgic for a lot of people. Very nostalgic for myself, for example. But I just think NES and SNES has that sort of proper, actual nostalgic charm.
Well, I think PlayStation does too, but Sony just flat out missed the boat.
Yeah. And I mean, does anybody really think back to the original PlayStation controllers before they had analog sticks and think, yeah, I'd really want to play with them again?
I actually have mine exclusively plugged into my PlayStation right now, and it's the one I use the most.
Interesting. I haven't held one of those controllers in years.
They're still really comfortable.
I bet they feel very small.
They're longer, aren't they?
They're what? It's the same size as a DualShock.
But the DualShocks were a bit stubbier, weren't they? The long sort of handles that come off the edge, they yes. become a bit shorter on the...
Yep. Which actually is kind of counterintuitive, because the original PlayStation ones felt a little bit more comfortable. You had a bit more to grab onto.
Oh, yeah.
The L2 and R2 buttons weren't bigger at that point. They were both still the same size as L1 and R1.
I bet that feels weird.
It definitely doesn't feel good. But yeah, I think, you know, everything that I read about the PlayStation Classic just says that it feels forced. It doesn't feel like it was made from made by a company that genuinely cares about what they're doing. It just feels slapped together. You know, there's no flair. I've seen the NES Classic, this NES Classic running. Obviously, mine are both still in their box. Despite that picture I posted, I did not take them out. You know, there's neat little flares to it. They've got their art galleries and their manuals and menu music, and it just looks well presented. The PlayStation, you fire it up, you get the little intro music, and then you're just at a menu, and that's it.
I've just seen on Eurogamer as well, apparently the emulation's not brilliant.
Well, half of them, you use a PAL version of it, emulated to... NTSC, which I can't remember the specifics of it, but causes frame rate issues or something.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But if you want to win yourself one of these great devices...
comment on the post below with Shabba.
Go on.
Well, no, I just find it funny that we're here kind of shitting all over it. And then
I'm not shitting all over it. I just, you know, it's interesting how Nintendo paved the way and showed like, hey... This is what should be done, and then Sony is looking at it going, great, we want to do that, but does nothing that Nintendo does other than slap old games on a small console.
Yeah, through all of Nintendo's faults, and they do have many, when it comes to this sort of stuff, they do care.
Yeah.
They do care.
In terms of their, like, presentation of these things, for sure.
Well, you know, and I think the biggest downfall of it, though, too, is that the games list is just...
There's just massive omissions. There really is.
Yeah. The top three that are missing, Tomb Raider, Spyro, Crash.
Yeah. And, I know exactly why they're missing, because the remakes have just come out and Tomb Raider is still going today. So,
I mean, the only ones that I'm even...
Actually, where's Soul Reaver?
Oh, yeah.
The only ones I'm actually remotely...
Where's Nobody Can Stop Mr. Domino?
Well, he could be anywhere because nobody could stop him.
This is true.
He just kept running.
Ugh, I don't think I want to keep this thing.
Sad!
I'm just looking at the list here. It's like the only one I really even care about playing is Final Fantasy VII and Metal Gear Solid and Resident Evil. I've got all three of those on the original console.
And you only played Final Fantasy VII last year?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Is that 2 years ago? It was last year, I think. We did seven, then nine.
We did
nine this year.
I'm just looking at this list going, who the hell approved this?
Like, whose pickle is this?
This is
OG
the finest.
Rayman isn't too bad.
Yeah. But like, this is not the most definitive list of PlayStation games that could have existed.
Medieval as well. I would have thought that would be on there. But again, that's
You know, good. I think we talked about this before, at least Mike and I did when it was a show with me and Dan. So... which nobody brought up.
We never addressed that, did
they? Nobody ever addressed that. I think Sony ran into a lot of licensing issues in terms of music and IPs, and most of the stuff on the SNES and NES Classic were Nintendo first party games.
That's the rumor why Final Fantasy VIII never seems to be on anything, isn't it? It's the Eyes on Me track licensing issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should go in and just put an instrumental MIDI track over it or something.
Yeah, but that song is instrumental, obviously, no pun intended, to the love story.
Yeah, I get it, but
yeah, you could just put some Plinky Plonk in the background. You'll get the idea.
Just put the North Coral.
Yeah, just do North Coral.
That huge romantic scene in the Ragnarok. I will always be your knight, Renoa.
And then, as it fades to black, Shabba!
Oh, goodness.
Isn't Julia playing it on the piano in the flashbacks with Laguna as well? Like, just have a piano version of it.
They'd have to gut that song from so many places. Because even just like little bits of it are strewn about too, so it's definitely an issue. Yeah,
walking around, oh, I stepped on some Eyes on Me.
I wonder if I can draw some magic from it, lad.
Everyone's from Yorkshire in Final Fantasy.
They are. Here, Squall, you're going to the Fire Canyon.
You got Gunblade.
No, lad, I use a whip.
Oh, dear.
Hey, by gum, that cypher's a bit of a twat, isn't he?
You're back to Ballam Garden.
No, lad, I'm from Galbadia.
You're done.
Yeah, there is some shite on your mind. I'm looking at the list.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they managed to get Oddworld on there.
Yeah, that is a kind of a... interesting decision.
Also Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Tekken 3 is a good show. I like Tekken 3.
Ugh.
What the hell is Mr. Driller? I've never even heard of that.
It's a guy who drills.
I remember Intelligent Cube. I used to have it on a demo disc. I could never understand what the hell you had to do.
Because you weren't smart enough.
It was on demo 1, wasn't it? The one that you
I think it was,
PlayStation. Yeah. Because it's called Kurushi over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, Dan. Like, as the blocks come towards you, you highlight the grid underneath and then try to get rid of the blocks as they and before they all crush you.
I was very young, Mike.
I'm looking forward to Cool Borders 2 because you could, unless I'm wrong, you could actually design the bottom of your own snowboard. And I remember being obsessed with trying to make a penis on the bottom of my snowboard so I do a flip.
I knew that was coming.
Play a demo with that. Never played the full
That game. Was a dick joke, Dan.
Was
knew,
it?
Knew it was coming.
But I played the hell out of that demo.
Get it, Dan?
Yeah,
should we, explain it?
No, I'm all right.
You sure? Okay.
Yeah.
So PlayStation Classic this week. It just
I
seems like
original Siphon Filter and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six are proper shite now.
Oh yeah, they can't control well.
Siphon Filter's third person. Tom Clancy's first person.
Ugh.
I bet the first Persona game's not brilliant either.
I bet the original Grand Theft Auto plays like trash too.
I don't know. I reckon that might hold up in a way. Because if it had been like an old 3D one, it better be garbage, but
yeah,
it's a very good game, isn't it, with a top-down
system? GTA 3 is a bit janky now.
Oh, I can imagine. Do you remember that they ported that to iPad?
It actually worked really well on Android. I enjoyed playing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had it on my phone. I loved it. They didn't do San Andreas to... portable, did they?
I don't think
it's probably it's probably too big.
Oh, yeah.
You got to think for the time, though, that game was frigging huge.
Frigging huge.
But if, frigging huge. If Microsoft for the next generation actually pull through with their Xtreme thing that they announced the other month, you'll be playing anything on your tablets if you want to.
San Andreas is on iOS for $7.
Oh, well, I'm talking shite.
Yeah, that's Dan, doesn't know shit.
Sounds about right.
A lifetime there.
Are you guys picking up Smash Brothers this week?
I've already pre-ordered it, my
Ooh.
Friend.
It is on my Christmas list.
Are you going to get a Pro Controller with it?
No.
Are you going to at least get a GameCube controller with it?
No.
You are going to absolutely suck ball sack at that game.
I bet
game.
I beat you all the time.
Nope, you're not going to. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen when you play in handheld mode with Joy-Cons.
We'll see.
There's no easy mode in multiplayer, Dan.
Well, at least I'll figure out the controls unlike some people.
Who?
How long did it take you to get through Devil May Cry to this week again?
I have an spoilers. Excuse. I have an excuse.
You're retarded?
I haven't decided if I'm picking it up because Just Cause 4 comes out this week, and that is the tip of the nipples for me.
I've never really played a Smash Brothers. I was always worried that I don't really have anyone to play it with. And they did that most recent direct where they showed all the single player content, and I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, that's why the Wii U version didn't appeal to me because it didn't have the single player content. So
I'm just afraid that Smash I'm going to buy it. Brawl. And it's going to be something that I never play because I played it with a group of I played the Wii U version with a group of friends all the time, and you know I don't really hang out with them anymore, so I don't really have a group of people to play.
We'll
Smash
play with you.
Well, we can play online at the weekends.
With all the times we get together and play games.
Well, we really should, though.
We used to.
Yeah,
see
but
Eric's YouTube channel for proof.
Dan didn't. Well, that's back before we had jobs and families and responsibilities.
Gerbs.
Well, that's your fault for having a family. You've only got your
sorry. Things happened.
Should have kept your penis to yourself.
Sure, dear.
Should you kept your shabber in its sheath?
I'll remember that for next time.
Good stuff. So I started playing the remake of Shadow of the Colossus this week.
Shadow of the Colossuses.
Colossuses.
Yes, I've said it wrong on purpose.
I don't know.
I did.
I don't
That's
know.
That's exactly what someone who just said it wrong would say.
Yeah, you're trying made to cover your
Made by Corny, am I?
It's not.
And there's Colossus in it.
Go on.
I don't know. It's just... I like the original. It's just... I don't know. It's looks nice and stuff. It's just a bit... It's a bit boring.
It's a super boring game. The first couple... Colossi are super fun, but then you're like, well, I've done this for the ninth time.
Yeah, it's okay.
I really enjoyed it, the original. I'm not bothered by the remake, because everything I've read is it's just exactly the same game, but prettier.
And it is, yeah.
I don't think... After I first played it, I was like, I don't think I'll ever come back to this. As yeah. great as it is, I don't think I'll come back.
I kind of panic buyed because I had game vouchers which were expiring, and so I got super hot on VR, and then
good choice, sir. Good choice.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh man, speaking of VR, let me tell you guys about a little game called Beat Saber.
I was about to go there myself.
Mm, too bad Tom's not here because I'd make some sort of pleasuring prehistoric tiger joke, and just it's lost on you guys.
Go ahead. Oh yeah, Tom's not here by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You make that joke anyway, Eric. Go on, fill your boots.
I was really looking forward to jerking off a saber-toothed tiger, but this game had nothing to do with tigers predating historical records. But it's still a fantastic game.
Worth it, Eric. That joke was worth it.
You like it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah?
It was very funny.
I am.
Tom doesn't appreciate.
One moment away
him.
From breaking out the Tidus Final Fantasy X laugh.
Shut up.
But I'm not gonna. I am not your clown.
Well, you guys are worn thin on it because every single time that came up into a chat, I would put something yeah. about saber-tooth tigers.
You did, yeah.
Every time, without fail, for weeks.
Have I been now, on Eric, this since I got my VR?
Have you what?
Have I been on a shore since I got VR?
No.
I was gonna. I didn't think I had it. My God, it's blowing my mind. It's amazing. I know. I said ages ago. It's probably a fad and stuff like that. But my God, it's cool.
And get this. He doesn't even have two move controllers yet.
Ew. Ugh.
The thing is, Dan, I think you've come in at the right time because for the longest time, you know, there was only two or three games that were worth getting.
Yeah.
You could quite easily now put together at least a top 10 list of must play games on VR.
Oh, absolutely.
Astro Bot Rescue Mission is amazing.
That
it's
I think is
so
the most
good.
Definitive platforming VR experience. Before it was Moss, now it's Astro Bot. What a phenomenal game.
It is. The bosses are just amazing. So,
see, I've only played the demo so far. I've picked up the main game, but I've not put it in yet.
It's just so cool. It was blowing my mind when I was playing it. It was just so cool.
It is essentially Mario 64 in VR.
Yeah, what he said. It's just got so much nice flair to it, and the way the like little guy, if you like look at him for a while, he like wave at you and stuff. It's just so cool. The sense of presence in it is really cool.
It's nice to have a VR game that isn't just always a first person as well. It's interesting to see what they've done in terms of a 3D platformer.
Well, it's interesting because it technically is first person. You are a robot in the world controlling this other little robot.
Well, yeah. But
it's nice. It's nice. The movement isn't like quick and things like that. So if you're getting your VR legs, it's a real nice way to get into it.
I've played a lot of VR, and I still get a little uneasy, you know, because you have to stand up to play it. You can't sit.
I sit all the time.
It tells you to stand up to play it.
No, it doesn't.
It says, make sure you're fitting within this frame, and you can only do that by standing up.
I am going to come right down the middle here and tell you that you're both wrong and both right, because it depends what game you're playing. Some are designed with a PSVR.
No, we're talking about Astro Bot.
Oh, I thought Dan was in specific.
I have played through all of Astro Bot sitting down.
Well, then you've probably missed a bunch of shit, because it encourages you to stand up and look around and behind you and lean forward.
I was doing that when I needed to, but I was just sitting on the sofa.
You're afraid of hitting your head on the ceiling again?
Yes, you can't go too close and head.
Gotcha.
But I've been playing, so I got that, Doom VFR, which seems a bit janky to me, and I got PlayStation VR Worlds as well, which is just kind of like basically little demos of VR, but that is a really good game as well.
See, I got that with my headset and I've not really touched it. When I first got it, Hazel had a quick go on the Shark Tank experience.
Yeah, you want to try the VR Luge, like downhill skateboarding thing? Fun as hell. You steer with your head. And it feels like you're properly leaning into the corners and things like that. It's really cool. You're going about 100 miles an hour, so it's not ideal.
Can I steer with Eric's head?
Yes, you can.
Awesome.
As long as VR headset is on.
Beat Saber.
Ooh-wee! What a game!
What a game.
Don't talk about it. I'm so jealous. I really want it.
Yeah. Oh, Dan, like you like rhythm games, right?
I do. I can't wait to get it.
Just honestly, if you are like rhythm games, and have a VR headset, you need to get it. It's so good. So the premise of it is your move controllers, they're essentially lightsabers. One's red, one's blue. And to the timing of all this music, which is a bit kind of Pendulum-esque.
It's very what's the EDM style music?
And the blocks come towards you and you have to basically strike them in the correct direction with the correct lightsaber. And boy, does it get difficult in places, but it's good fun. And it's a great workout as well, actually.
Oh, my mom was over for Thanksgiving and that's all we did all day. And I put her on it and she's like, let me try easy. I'm like, Mom, it's offensively simple. And halfway through the first song, she's like, yeah, put me up on normal. So she did normal and then she wanted to start going through hard. And then by the end of, you know, our Thanksgiving visit, she was sort of getting through most of a song on expert.
Well, here's the interesting thing as well. You get more points by using more exaggerated movements. So if you go from a 90-degree angle through the block to a further sort of 60-degree angle, you get more points for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it encourages you to be very active as well. It unlike the old Wii tennis days where you could, you know, lay on the sofa and just wiggle your wrist.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys, like, seen streamers who are doing it and then they've got, like, the setup so it looks like they're actually in the thing and stuff? It looks amazing.
I think haven't seen that.
You haven't seen it?
No.
No, so, like, it'll be from behind them. So I assume it's, like, a green screen kind of thing. But you can see the entire game world and they're holding the lightsabers and everything. It's amazing.
That's cool. I think the one thing that because this has been out on like Vive and Oculus for a while, I think the one thing that's going to hold it back on PSVR is on the PC-based virtual reality units. There's a lot of people who've gone in and done, basically doing levels to popular music, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that on the PS store.
I think they'll do downloadable songs, which will be fine. I'll buy them because there's 15 songs.
If DLC comes out for it, I'll get it for sure, but. It's
Foo Fighters on Beat Saber.
Yes, but if they unless it ends up as big as say Guitar Hero or Rock Band, you're not going to start seeing, you know, popular music.
The game itself doesn't seem like it lends itself well to pop music because it's basically a drumming simulator because you're striking along to the drum beat of the music, and I don't think slower style music would really lend itself well to it. Have you gone through much of the campaign yet?
With the sound of music.
I haven't touched the campaign at all. So, if I'm honest, I haven't had time. So I've only, you know, played it a bit on the, you know, just choosing what you want to do.
The campaign is interesting that you go through, obviously, and it's giving you just simple, hey, beat this, get this score. And then to advance to the next tier, you need to have beaten X amount of levels in tier 1 to go to tier 2 and so on. But once you start getting up to like tier 13, 14, 15, they start giving you conditions. And the conditions get more and more ridiculous. The first one you run into is disappearing arrows. So the blocks will start coming towards you, and as soon as they appear, the arrow on it starts disappearing. But it's to the point where by the time they get to you, it's completely gone, and you have to know what that is so you can look at the next one down the road so you see what it is before it disappears. And so you're constantly looking three or four bricks down the road and just having to memorize what directions you have to strike as they come towards you.
Is it a very tiring game? It looks it.
Very. I actually got... I was afraid I was getting tennis elbow the first few days I was playing it on my left arm because I'm like, man, my left arm hurts like hell.
then well, I put my Apple Watch on workout mode one time when I was playing it, and I was playing for half an hour. Now, bear in mind, some of that I wouldn't have been doing the actual levels. It would have been going through menus and things like that. And I think in like that 30 minutes, I burned like 280 active calories or something like that, I think it was.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones that you get down the
100% picking it up after Christmas when I get my move
controller. I was super skeptical on it, but I was really pleased with it. Some of the more ridiculous ones that you get down the road, Dan posted my video of this. They give you, so apparently it tracks how far your hands have moved total throughout the time that you've been playing the game, and I just thought it was a goofy statistic. But then it comes in with a condition where you have to move your hands a certain distance, you know, make sure your hands move a total of 680 meters. And the first time that came up, I'm like, I bet you I can break 1,000. So my mom's recording it, and I'm just going friggin' ridiculous trying to get as many meters on as I can.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
I thought it was the minimum, yeah. That's what confused me.
Oh, was I saying maximum?
A certain amount. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, minimum. You had to get at least 680.
Yeah, but the video you did was one where you were trying to not go over a certain amount.
No, that's the one where I was trying to go.
I'm sure you said the other way around.
But you weren't very animated on it. Sure you said the other way around as well.
Have you watched the one where it looks like I'm directing traffic? Air traffic? That's the one
about. You're not that animated. You're not.
I am 99.9% certain you said that was one where you were trying to not move as much.
Oh, no. That is the other way around. The one where I'm not trying to move as much, I have my hands directly out in front of me and just doing little wrist motions. Because you can't play... They give you ones where you have a maximum amount.
Must have wrote the wrong thing in WhatsApp. Both me and Mike think it.
I don't think so.
I spent all week being confused by that.
Find the original chat and reread it. But yeah, they give you ones where you have a maximum that you can hit. Like, you can only go 120 meters throughout the entire song. Those ones get incredibly difficult because you have to keep your hands perfectly still and just move your wrists enough to hit the sword or hit the block. But if you move your wrist too much, you're going to get too much distance in there. It probably took me 4 or 5 goes to beat a few of those.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Then they have ones where you have to intentionally get bad cuts, so you have to get like a minimum of 15 bad cuts, and then you can have a max combo of 20, and you have to get a minimum score of 150,000. So they start adding all these conditions on there. So there's one I'm on right now where you have to get every single time you have to get at least a combo of 28, but you can't go over a combo of 30. So every time you hit 28, you need to miss a block and then start getting your combo back up again. And if you don't hit 28, at least for a combo, if you miss one on 25, you fail.
Ugh. Excellent.
So it gets really difficult towards the end.
Are you playing through the campaign on hard?
You don't get to choose.
Oh, it's just set.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
As you get up into the higher levels, it switches it to expert. Yeah. So playing songs with weird conditions on expert is difficult, because just getting through expert on its own is hard.
Yeah, I had a quick go on a couple of the songs on expert, and yeah, I failed that shit.
I think it's muscle memory, though, isn't it? Once you, like with Guitar Hero, a lot of the time it was played a few times, and then you get used to it.
Yeah, well, a lot of the songs, when you get to the quote-unquote chorus part, because a lot of it's instrumental, it'll be the exact same blocks every time, so, you know, the certain rhythms will be there each time, but then there'll be little bits that are different when there's little parts of the song that change as choruses progress and things like that.
I've seen people doing things where, like, you have to cross over the lightsabers and strike different ways. That would be what would confuse my head.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's actually these walls that come towards you that you have to avoid as well, so you have to go left, right, or duck under the walls as well whilst trying to hit blocks and things like that.
So I want to clarify, I said it correctly in the original chat. The campaign in Beat Saber starts giving you missions with modifiers like disappearing blocks, sped up songs, and then max min distances that your hands have to move. The first time I had to do a minimum distance, meaning you have to go at least this far.
No, but I thought you were saying you were doing minimum effort.
No, I had to do a minimum distance. I wanted to see how far I could make my hands travel. Oh,
I thought you were trying because you were doing a minimum distance. You meant that you had to do a minimum, like a small amount. That's why you weren't very animated.
That would be a maximum distance.
Yeah. Oh man, Eric, I am so much more animated on that game than you. If that was one of your videos where you're trying to do a lot, I'm like right in the middle of it.
Mike's doing like Jedi flips and everything.
It's over, Peterson. I have the higher ground.
I guess.
This is going to be fun in January.
Hey, Eric, is there any... I know obviously we're planning on doing a live show. Mm-hmm. More on that another time, people. But is there any way like we could just set up us live streaming us playing in your living room?
Oh yeah, my living room's big enough for it.
I've discussed this with Eric briefly in the past. I think we should have some kind of factory seal tournament going on where we have a big challenge with lots of different games.
Like what? Give me an example. Run me through it.
Beat Saber, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, top scores, things like that.
What does the winner get?
Tekken, Pride.
And then people can bet, they can back their horse, and then whoever's following that person gets a prize or something.
Yeah, why not?
PS1 classics for everyone!
Woo!
Yeah. Whilst we're on the subject of VR, I wasn't on the last show, but Eric, I know you played the Tetris Effect demo.
Yeah!
Which was way before that. Man, what a game as well in VR.
Not worth $40, though.
Yeah, it's a bit overpriced, but... So, Dan, you were skeptical. You said, well, just looks like Tetris to me. Now, at its core, yeah, it's just Tetris. But they've done so much with it in terms of the visuals and the music, and it makes it a completely different experience.
It's just a really cathartic experience.
The demo was timed because I'd like to try it, but...
Did you do much of the adventure mode? Like, during the beta, they had a demo of the adventure mode on there where... You play through and you get grouped up with people from your area. And if at least, I think if it's at least 40% of the people complete that challenge, then everybody gets the reward for it. But it's ridiculous stuff, like clear 150 lines, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but then they start adding these random events in there, like mega blocks and these huge tetrominoes start dropping down, or... there's segments of them missing, so like on the one that looks like a T, the top piece will be missing. So when you lay it down, you're going to have gaps in your structure, and it just gets really difficult. But it's fun. I'll pick it up if it's ever $20.
I imagine it is fun, because after having experience of VR a bit more, even the tiniest things can blow your mind in it. Like, yeah. On PlayStation VR Worlds, I was amazed at the menu. Like...
You would like Job Simulator, Dan.
Yeah, I imagine you need the moves, though, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, but the menu and Tetris Effect. Oh, sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Hazel had a quick go on Tetris Effect, and she was like, "This is so relaxing." And apparently, in the full mode, there is a relaxation mode where you can't fail. You literally just sit there and experience the music whilst playing a relaxing game of Tetris.
Hmm.
Sorry, Dan. Go on.
I forget what it was. Yeah, the
menus.
I was going to talk the menu in PSVR Worlds. It's like you're in this kind of coliseum where you can select all the different things, but just seeing the depth of the world and things like you don't get with a TV is just, I find it incredible that you can just look around and things like that. It just blows my mind.
I'm looking forward to the next iteration of it where it's a higher resolution and a better frame rate. You know, now that they'll be able to take what the Oculus was on the PC and bring that down to a console level. Obviously, PC is going to always be a generation or a generation and a half ahead of where consoles are. But
well, we were discussing it in WhatsApp that we think the PS5 will probably have the gubbins for VR inside.
There's been a bunch of rumors about that already. You know, obviously, it's not confirmed, but saying exactly that, where it's going to be built in.
Can it stream to my glasses?
Do you think that on the next console they'll have a the next iteration of PSVR, but it'll also be backwards compatible with your current headset? You just won't get the upgraded fidelity?
I really hope so.
I think they have to.
I think, though, as soon as that new headset comes out, I'm like, I can't not have it.
It's just, it's an expensive bit of kit.
It is.
I mean, I got it for the cheapest it's ever been, but I can't see people biting twice.
It sounds like you're going to get a lot of use out of it, though, Dan, because you literally asked us a month or so ago, you know, how much do you use it, because I'm thinking of getting one. And me and Eric said, to be honest, we don't use it that often, and you will probably be disappointed how much you'll end up spending on it and how much you'll actually use it. You personally will probably be quite disappointed, but it sounds like you're getting your money's worth for sure.
I absolutely love it. It's one of those moments in gaming history for me that it feels like the next step, you know, kind of like it just feels amazing when you're in it. I think because I start with such a strong game like Astrobot as well, it's just something that really blew my mind.
I knew you were going to love Astrobot from the moment I played the demo.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best games I've played this year, actually.
The one thing I will say about VR, though, and you'll probably run into this, though, Dan, is you'll find lulls. You know, the honeymoon phase of it will wear off. It's still cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you'll be like, well,
to be honest, I find that with Switch, to be honest.
Yeah.
I still play a PS4 more than Switch, but I love games on Switch when they come out. And that's fine for me, but for example, today, I didn't feel like playing on VR, so I played on normal telly for a bit instead. But I have spent the best part of the last week playing VR games, I think.
Yeah, it's mostly what I played over the holiday.
Yeah, and I've still got plenty to play with the Move controllers when I get them. Like Superhot, I haven't even opened. Doom VFR is apparently better with Move. PlayStation VR Worlds has games in it which benefit from the Move controllers, which you can also use the DualShock for. Like the London Heist, which is amazing, would be so much better with the Move controllers. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but it's basically simulates like a heist in London, obviously, but graphic fidelity is incredible. And this guy, it starts off with this guy who's basically Ronnie Pickering, like he's in your face shouting at you, and it's actually quite intimidating. It's like, all right, use leg, what the fuck's going on?
I think you need to play Rush of Blood, Dan.
I've got it downloaded, but
that's the one that you wouldn't play when we were in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks terrifying. See, PS Plus has given away a couple of VR games, which I grabbed months ago, so I downloaded them as well. Yeah. Starblood Arena, which is kind of bleh. But it's okay. And Rush of Blood's on there. And you can download
the... They gave another horror one recently as well, and I can't remember what it's called.
I don't think I downloaded that
one. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I played it for like 30 seconds and went, nope, not doing that one.
There's a little one I saw in the shops, actually, which I looked at the box and I thought, it looks all right, but I watched some gameplay footage of it. It's called Torn, and it's kind of like you're using the gravity gun from Half-Life, but in VR.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty interesting. I'm going to pick up Moss as well.
Oh, Moss is just brilliant.
I did want to get Moss when I originally got the VR, but because game is shite, they didn't have it in.
Yeah, it's an excellent, excellent game.
And I'm going to get Batman Arkham VR as well.
Keep an eye out. Keep checking the PSN store, Dan, because every now and again that goes on offer.
Yeah.
It seems to be £8 like all the time lately. Yeah. Because
apparently, isn't it? I've heard the one thing about that. It is cool, but it's very short and very, very overpriced, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2 hours.
Hour and a half, apparently. But if it's cool, I'll probably play it over and over again. Yeah.
Well, I haven't played it yet, but I picked up... There was a random PSN flash sale in the UK the other day, and the Rick and Morty VR game, which is apparently supposed to be really good, it's normally $24.99. I've never seen it for less than $18, and that was randomly dropped down to a tenner, so I bagged that.
I think you've got to be careful with the PSVR though, because some of the games need the moves and it's not always that clear. Like, I didn't honestly realize Superhot needed them until I got home. So
it literally says it on the front of the box.
It does.
I know it does. But I got distracted by the shiny pictures.
You hear this, Eric? Hear this? He didn't see what the controls were.
Ah! Who's an idiot now?
Yeah, it's happened to me once in my life. Shame about the millions of other times it's happened to Eric.
No, like I said, I just intentionally leave myself at a disadvantage to make the games more difficult.
That's what difficulty modes are for.
Is that why you go to easy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, zing.
Zing, zing. Guys, should we get on to our game of the week?
Yeah, but...
Game of the week. World premiere.
Water cooler.
Exclusive.
TV.
Sponsored by Shabba.
We're playing Devil May Cry this week, or we did play. Excuse me.
Catching my diseases to the old microphone.
Yeah, getting a little bit of that Ebola. The original Devil May Cry for the PlayStation 2.
May he?
Devil probably will cry.
Devil may had cried.
Devil possibly sadness.
Teary Satan.
Teary Satan.
Weepy Beelzebub.
I was going to say puddly Beelzebub. Came out in 2001.
Wow.
Good lord.
That's quite a while ago.
That is a long time ago.
And they're only up to five. What have they been doing?
They took a bit of a break. So this
game...
There's
been spin-offs, hasn't there?
Yeah. It's an action-adventure hack-and-slash third-person shooter, stylish, over-the-top, heavy metal, Demon's Lane game. That
but rocky in places.
Yes. That actually started out its life as the original concept for Resident Evil 4.
And boy, can you tell in some ways that it's a Capcom game and they intend it to be Resident Evil. It uses the same fonts. There's some sound effects that are exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting to have to fix a power plant at some point, to be honest. But instead, I had to insert items into other items.
Which make no sense.
No.
That's how you know it was conceived as a Resident Evil game.
Stick this unicorn horn inside this fountain and a coin will come out and you gotta put that in the sewer.
You must find the chalice of Arswipe to progress.
Take this crystallized brain and put it in that cup and cram it into the statue.
Okay.
And while
that
you're
sounds
at it,
logical.
Fuck off.
Take this trident and cram it into the floor and then run down two stairs and go under a gate.
So, right, this is jumping ahead a little bit here, but I'm looking at a trivia page for Devil May Cry 1. And the first one on it goes, Devil May Cry story was based off of the old poetry book, A Divine Comedy / Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
And it says, Dante was named after the author and character, Dante Alighieri? I'm pronouncing that wrong. And then the next bit goes, Virgil was named after Virgil. Thanks.
Excellent. Very useful.
And Trish and Eva were named after Beatrice. What?
But that doesn't sound like that, game designer. Who cares? Put it in there. Make sure you add the Chalice of Arswipe in there as well.
So the thing that really surprised me in this, because I've not played this, it was one of those games I always meant to get round to back in the
PS2 days. Yeah, same hither.
I just never did. The thing that surprised me straight away was the mission structure.
Yeah, that's odd. Real odd. So basically what happens is, rather than it be one continuous narrative, which it kind of is, but it's broken up into levels. So unlike Resident Evil, you'll after going through a door or something, it'll say mission complete. So then you're like, what?
And some of those missions are 2 minutes long.
Yes.
And then you're graded on each individual one as well. So obviously Resident Evil, Silent Hill, that, games of that ilk, they give you a rating at the end. But this one, as you go through, you're seeing how you're doing.
You know, and that's kind of why...
My favorite one is dull. Like, you're being dull.
Well, that's kind of why this game was axed as a Resident Evil game and turned into its own IP, is that they wanted it to be very stylish and... you know, they conceived it as a game about supernatural powers and demon slaying, and they just said, you know what, this is too much of a stark departure for the series, so we're just going to move this off into its own series. You know, they discovered that this game didn't work well with the over the shoulder style camera that they wanted to go with for Resident Evil 4. And
I was under the impression that this was the direction they were trying to go. Then went, no, this isn't working for Resident Evil. Then they got the over-the-shoulder styly.
Maybe I read it wrong.
That was the impression I got. I could be wrong, too.
Yeah.
It has happened before.
But yeah, Resident Evil 4 went through 4 iterations before it finally hit where it was at.
Yeah, because it's in the title, Resident Evil 4.
Jesus Christ, Mike.
Says the guy who every time we bring up a fact goes, yeah, Dan, it's in the title. Factory sealed.
This is true.
You say something on this show, you'll never let you forget it.
I meant four prototypes.
Yeah, and it's in the title. Right?
Jesus.
Prototypes.
What is one of those prototypes? And then Nemesis.
There's experiments in the games. They're prototypes.
All right, use legs. I'm Nemi, the prototype.
And I brought my friend Space Nemi.
Man, forgot about Space Nemi.
Imagine that tag team.
Oh, Jesus. I wouldn't want that.
From parts unknown, weighing a combined weight of 2 metric tons, Nemi and Space Nemi.
Stars.
And they come out to that, you know, in Resident Evil Director's Cut, there's that really, really awful kind of almost Trump, just really disorganized trumpet track that they placed in some of the areas. They just come out to that.
I prefer North Coral myself.
You just want that over everything. That's what you're going to come down the aisle to in your wedding.
Oh yeah. Please do.
Oh, because Mr. Lover Man, Shubba.
don't tell Crystal. just...
so that's
she would actually walk out.
In talking to Christy about that, she doesn't remember any of the music that was playing when she's coming down the aisle, so she wouldn't notice. You know, because she's focused on you, Mr. Lover Man, up at the front, you know, trying to look all charming and dapper, and you could be giggling at North Coral.
This is a complete sidebar, but speaking of music at weddings, so in
October... Segway!
I didn't mention it on the last show I was on, but I sang at my mate's wedding in October. You know, at the end, after they've signed the registry and everything, and the couple walks out and everything, and you normally have a song playing. So I was in the room with an acoustic singing. Unfortunately, they wanted me to play an Ed Sheeran song, so I played Ed Sheeran. I know, it's what they wanted. And it was the weirdest quote-unquote gig I have ever played, because literally the moment I started singing, everyone started leaving. Because obviously I was playing everyone out of the room, wasn't I? That was the whole idea of me being there. It was me play while everyone leaves, but it's just so like I was more nervous
and
doing this to my friend.
You look perfect tonight.
Just tears coming down your face.
And just everyone just stood up and was leaving.
Where are you going? Please come back.
The strangest thing. Absolutely.
I'm not that
thing.
Shite.
Oh god.
But then as soon as everybody left, Mike launches at the Foo Fighters. Brilliant.
Nah.
You should have.
Yeah, maybe.
So back to DMC.
DMC.
Not to be confused with the reboot, also called DMC.
So when I first started playing this, I've got to admit.
Jacked it.
I did, yep. Jacked it in VR, I'll have you know.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
I was
too much information.
Virtual ghost attacks.
I was a bit disappointed, if I'm honest, at first. I grew to like it. Like, spoilers, I did actually grow to like it, but at the beginning I was kind of very disappointed. Now, I know this was a PS2 era game, but starting off, it's the camera work on it and the actual controls very janky for one.
So I was going to say that, but I didn't want Dan to go, oh, you just didn't get the control guy, you idiot.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
The controls in this game are super clunky.
Yeah, well, they give you 3D control with the left analog stick, but then it still has the sort of Resident Evil static, but also... Well, some of them
jumpy camera.
Slightly, but where it cuts, you go towards the screen, it cuts, and you have to then suddenly change which direction you're holding the analog stick.
Sometimes you can
get caught.
The
amount of times I walked back and forth between the same screen because I wasn't adjusting in time. It was pretty ridiculous. I actually mentioned this in WhatsApp earlier in the week because this happened a lot on like PS2 era games where you would wander between different scenes and then you would...
Just
invariably
back
wander
forth.
Back into the other one because, yeah.
But I just don't understand. This was... You always think back to, like, the beginning of 3D gaming and the game that's always brought up, Mario 64, you know, what it did for 3D gaming, and sure, it was kind of only left and right camera control, but we had 3D games where you were able to control the camera and it made it much less clunky. I don't understand how...
Maybe it's because they need the pre-rendered backgrounds.
Still having this clunky camera. I mean, going back to the PS1, even like Spyro the Dragon, at least you could use the L2 and R2 button to move your camera around. I don't understand why this is like this.
I think it's just a different style of game. I think it's to do with pre-rendering the background, because Spyro has like polygon worlds, whereas Resident Evil Devil May Cry has these pre-rendered kind of backdrops.
Yeah, and they wanted to do static, you know, cinematic camera angles. You know, you're following you down this spiraling staircase, and
I get it, but on some of the like,
get it.
There's one specific boss battle. You know that like giant eagle thing that you fight a few times.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
Griffin.
Griffin. Fred. That's the one. Fred'll do. There's one where you fight it outside in like a Colosseum area, and these red platforms appear, and you have to jump up them. And
you don't have to.
You don't have to.
It helps. And some points the camera would just start moving itself around, and you'd try and climb up them, and if you failed, you'd climb up again. The camera would be completely different, so you'd go up sometimes, and you'd have to be jumping towards a screen to a blind platform, and then you couldn't actually see the boss and couldn't see where that was firing, so you'd be getting shot to death as well.
Oh, the platforming in this game is bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Like, the amount of times I jumped off a ledge by accident, because there's certain sections where you have to do platforming, and it's just so janky. It's awful. Particularly the second off last boss, or the last boss, sorry.
Oh, is there platforming in that?
It's horrible. Yeah.
But the other thing, going back to me saying I was a bit disappointed at first, obviously at the very beginning you don't really unlock many of the moves, and it felt very button bashy at first. And I've heard that Devil May Cry has always had amazing combat, and I just didn't see that at first.
I thought the balance between buying items and the moves meant you couldn't afford it was a case of either or. Like, you didn't get enough orbs to buy anything you wanted.
Well, yes and no, because you can, between certain missions, you don't advance directly to the next mission. You can bounce around the castle, and I found some spots where, I was telling Mike about this, I was able to farm anywhere from 350 to 600 orbs a minute. So I pretty much maxed everything out within half an hour of farming.
Yeah, but I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, you got to take advantage of those times.
Yeah.
It does have some really crazy difficulty spikes, but before that, though, it just kind of drops you into the game and doesn't really explain anything to you. The story itself is janky at best.
Ridiculous.
Dante is the son of the legendary Sparta, and he has taken...
This is Sparta!
Wrong Sparta.
All right.
This one's with a D. He's taken a job as like a private mercenary, headhunter, detective in this small little town that he kills these
evil
supernatural beings. And
that's a specialist field.
Yeah. I mean, but he's trying to
it's a bit like a Ghostbuster, I guess.
Oh, shut up. I knew that was coming as soon as he started speaking. Dante meets a young lady called Trish, who appears to be wearing some kind of S&M bodice.
Who wears sunglasses at night.
Yeah. And she comes and stabs him, I believe. And so he just pulls the sword out casually and then decides to go on a nice little holiday to a castle where he must find the Chalice of Arswipe and various assorted items in order to avenge his fallen mother.
And brother.
He was killed by the evil demon Mons Pubis.
Yes.
That's not right.
Well, to be fair, they change the pronunciation of his name in the game depending on how they're feeling, so...
In case you don't know what the Mons Pubis is, that is the rounded mass of fatty tissue lying over the joint of the pubic bones.
That's what I
Excellent.
Heard.
So the final boss of the game is a massive fatty pubic tissue.
That's actually not that wrong.
Oh, God.
But Dan, really, he is called Dan. Mundus. Dan. Mike.
In your synopsis of that opening cutscene, how the hell did you just, like, gloss over the fact that he throws a motorbike at her?
Oh, yes. I completely forgot.
No, she throws it at him and he stops it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. There was a motorbike thrown anyway.
I don't know, I just kind of, the story just fell apart very quickly, so I forgot what happened at the start, and then by the end, I was like, what's happening?
Each of these supernatural creatures that comes to fight him is trying to kill him because he's a legendary son of Sparta who is set to do something to the pubis bone under the underworld. And
yes, but why does he go to this castle?
Because he wants to avenge his mother and brother.
Yes, but why this castle?
Because there's things that need to be stuck in other things.
Well, Dan, if I can quote Dante exactly.
I have no idea what just happened.
I don't know either.
So, I don't know if maybe it's the HD collection, to give you some clarification. I can't hear a fucking word Dante says in this.
Oh, he was crystal clear in the PS2 version.
Yeah, he's fine.
Really? Oh, it must be the HD. I played the HD collection on PS3. And honestly, his voice is so low in the mix. And when you put the subtitles on, the only things that are subtitled are the demons. So 9 times out of 10, I can't hear a damn word he says.
Okay, so I'm looking...
Generally, the plot's pretty... The dialogue is atrocious.
I'm looking in the strategy guide here, and this is exactly what it says in terms of what the story is about. 2,000 years ago, the underworld rose up, attempted to take over the overworld. A knight rose up, saved human world from damnation, and then sealed the underworld, and that was Sparta. Now the underworld again threatens mankind. The people must depend on a new champion to heed the call and save the world from damnation. So essentially... I think this lady was here, or these supernatural beings were there to kill Dante because they knew that he was the son of Sparta and would prevent the underworld from taking over the human world.
Right, well, that wasn't clear. So
She comes to hire him to go to the island to stop the demon.
Well, she comes to... It seems like she's coming to kill him, but then on the way out, he has this revelation that she might not be who she says she is, because she doesn't kill him, and then she gives him this weird little wink, and then an overlay of his mother flashes on top of her, and they look similar.
She looks an awful like Nina Williams from the Tekken series, I think.
She does, actually, yes. I tell you what, mind, hair physics on this was pretty spot on for a PS2 game.
It's all right. My hair. That's not as good as my hair, though, is it?
Well, no, nothing is. But in terms of things that are not brilliant, dialogue. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but voice acting at this stage of the game, this is 2001.
No, but the actual things they say are atrocious.
Like, oh, it's very, very Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah. For example, flock off Featherface.
Oh my God, that was so
dumb. I've got a few quotes now. I don't think you two have got this far, but at one point, Dante goes to somebody and goes, "I should have been the one to fill your dark soul with light!" And it's literally, that is exactly how he delivers it, and it is so bad. It's so bad.
But with the way the dialogue is presented and the general kind of 3D look of the game anyway, plus the mission structure, I thought it felt very, very arcadey.
It does. It kind of feels a bit pick up and play at times.
Yeah, it was easy to do 2-3 missions at a crack and then come back later.
But I could very much imagine being in an arcade and popping some quarters in and playing this there and then failing and obviously having to pay for continues and stuff.
Well, yeah, and they even give you like the... So there's different orbs within the game. The yellow orbs act as continues. And if you fail within...
Which look a bit like your head.
Like me?
Yes.
Oh,
they really do.
The girls were... my girls were bouncing around upstairs and they came in one time just as I had picked up a yellow orb and they both just pointed at the screen and started screaming and laughing and they were just infatuated by it. So every time they're like, let me see the face, daddy,
because it looks like you.
Maybe. But yeah, the yellow orbs act as continue, so if you die during a boss battle or anywhere, it just takes you back to the last door that you came through, so it doesn't make you redo the whole mission, which isn't too bad anyway, because most of the missions are pretty short. I think there were a couple that crested up over half an hour.
Yeah.
Going off of the whole herbs versus herbs things, are these orbs or horbs?
Well, there's no H in front of it, so those would be orbs.
Yeah, but there's a H in front of herbs.
Yeah, but it's a silent H.
Well, maybe there's an invisible H.
Well,
on orbs.
Eric, have you ever seen a octopus in the sea? And after you've done sports, do you have a orange?
I think Mike's gone.
I'm sorry.
You know what doesn't help? Just still on the screen is that picture of Jim from Friday Night Dinner. Oh, this has been a weird show.
Yep, standard.
It's a bit different.
Sorry.
I'm just picturing an octopus or a hoctopus where they have like the hocks of a pig at the ends of their tentacles.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, Tom Raines is in. I'm sure he does.
Come back, Tom. All is forgiven.
Oh, God. But yeah, I think the orbs you were saying, Eric.
Yeah, so when you kill the enemies, you get, what are there, two different colors that pop out? Red, which just, you know, it's kind of the same concept as Onimusha and God of War. And,
do you mean Honimusha?
Yes, Honimusha.
The thing that annoyed me about the red orbs, because obviously you use those for upgrades.
They're not the right shade! This doesn't match my Pantone.
You touched on this earlier, Dan. You can't afford the upgrades because you're buying items and things like that. The frustrating thing that I found is there were certain doors that you had to go through that would need like 200 orbs to get through. And there was one point where I remember I was saving up for a specific upgrade and I had enough for it. And then I hit a door that I needed 200 orbs and that was the end of the mission. I was like, oh, well, I'm not getting that in between, am I?
Yeah, but most of the missions I never had a store somewhere through.
I never struggled with that, actually. Did you guys realize you can save anywhere?
Yeah, but it doesn't load you back into that same spot.
Yeah, I know. It's that. I thought I could cheese the last boss by doing it, and I couldn't.
Nope.
Combat-wise, I find this game very satisfying overall. The janky camera angles means that you struggle with it, but I liked it. After some time with it.
So let's talk about the controls for a second, because those are...
You don't know anything about them.
It takes a while to get used to.
I think you glossed over the fact that you don't know what they are.
Well, I do.
And I think you didn't finish explaining all the orbs.
Oh, yeah. Didn't I?
It's partly my fault.
Yeah, I did.
No, you said the red ones and the yellow ones.
Eric, tell us about the blue orbs.
And the green orbs.
So the blue orbs, you collect in fragments of four. That once you collect those, then they increase your overall health.
they're like the
very nice
pieces of heart in Zelda. Sorry, pieces of art in Zelda.
Yeah, it's just drop the H and add the H. then there is the yellow ones? No, we already talked about the yellow ones. The yellow ones, blue ones. Purple ones increase your Devil Trigger. So Devil Trigger is kind
trigger.
Of your... what's a comparable mode to? It's basically your
Super mode, like supersonic.
Yeah, super mode. Where is it based off of time or is it based off of attacking the enemy? I could never figure that out.
I don't think it's timed.
Because I was trying to cheese one of the bosses by hiding and waiting for my devil trigger to go back up and it never went up.
I think it's attacks because if you use the Ifrit gauntlets, it goes down quicker. Definitely.
Hang on. I think we're confused.
No, it's timed going down, but how does it regenerate?
Attacks.
Okay. Yeah, it's not timed to regenerate. You can't just sit and wait for it to regen.
Yeah, but it's timed to attack things.
Yeah. So you press L1 to activate that, and then you go into this super mode where you then have a whole new set of combinations of attacks. And they're not always the easiest to pull off. So the controls themselves...
There are some complicated controls with this one.
Yeah, the controls themselves, triangle is jump, and then in order to shoot your guns, standardly, you jump, and then you can hammer on square, and he'll fire his guns and kind of keep himself hovering in the air. Circle is your sword. But then as soon as you hold R1...
Hang on. What were your controls? They must have changed them for the HD collections, because mine was
completely different. Circle is standard attacks, triangle is launch, I think.
Triangle is jump.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I've been playing DMC as well, and they've changed it.
Yeah.
Oh, they must have changed it for the HD collection, because X was jump, square was, like, confirm, and triangle was to do my attacks.
What was guns?
Yeah, when you're in the air, what was your guns. Gun?
Square was guns, yeah, and then triangle was my sword.
That seems worse.
I don't know, that's just what the standard controls were on mine.
So then if you're walking around and you just hold R1, he kind of brings his guns up and he goes into this really slow mode and you can fire your guns as you're walking around. But also R1 acts as your activation for combos. So if you're holding R1 and then you press away from Dante, which the camera angles don't always make it that easy, you have to press towards his back and then circle, he'll launch people into the air, or you can press...
Yeah, so away isn't always down, it can be right, for
example. Yeah, you just have to constantly be paying attention. So if you're trying to pull off really complicated moves in the heat of battle, you're not always going to get it.
You see, what I think they should have done, because when you hold down R1, he walks anyway, it would have been interesting... Well, it would have made it a bit easier if when you pressed R1, it went into like a tank control kind of motion. Because then you could always do forward for Dante, left for Dante, or right for Dante, or down for Dante, rather than having to try and do it from the camera angle of the screen.
Yeah.
I hate doing it from the wrong camera angle.
That's why you got to set up multiple cameras.
reinforce the bed.
Yes. Well, I reinforce the bed that you're going to be sleeping on.
Who, me personally?
Well, yeah, you said you're just going to eat disgusting amounts.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I was about to say, you're calling me fat.
But... No, I'm just prepping.
The plane going back is just above the ocean.
So then you can use your orbs to unlock different moves that they in themselves aren't always the easiest to pull off. Like, for example, Air Raid. I always had to go two or three jumps to get Air Raid to activate. So you'd have to hit Devil Trigger hitting L1, then you'd have to jump and then hit R1 and then hit square to go into one of these combinations.
Air Raid was just accidental for me every time, to be honest.
Well, then you had...
I was trying to jump and shoot and then it activated Air Raid.
So... Yeah, that happened to me too. That's the one where you kind of go turn into like a bit of a demon and swoop around, isn't it?
Yeah, and you float around and shoot lightning at people.
Yeah.
Most of the combinations for me were completely on accident. Like you can launch people into the air and then use your guns to juggle them and then jump up and spike them down into the ground and go from, I think it was dull to cool to stylish to awesome or something like that. No, stylish was the highest in your combo meter.
What was B?
Hmm?
What was B?
What do you mean B?
Because it goes through C, B, A, S.
Oh, no, those don't have anything to do with... That's just your hunter rank at the end of each level.
No, that also applied to your rating when you were fighting.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah, because obviously dull, cool, astonish, superb. So, yeah, there's one for B. Oh, bravo, it was bravo.
All right.
Did they change that, too? Because that wasn't... I didn't
I'm
have
sure
anything
it was.
Called...
Did it? Don't want to what to tell you. But I didn't... I kind of get what they were trying to do, but I don't still don't fully understand the whole rating of the gauge thing.
So the rating
starts
here.
At dull, progresses through cool, bravo, absolute, and peaks at stylish.
Absolute, not astonished. That was it.
Let me read out here, because I was reading in the guide here. It gives you an explanation of how to ensure that you get mission rankings. So I got a few S rankings, but it's really complicated to do. It's based heavily off of time. Like, that's the main considering factor. And there is a set of balancing factors that you can compensate for, you know, if you go longer than you should for the S rating. So amount of damage sustained may lower your rank, but taking no damage improves your ranking by a full letter grade. You can only enter and leave each room once unless the mission objective dictates that you need to go back through that room. If you collect all the orbs in each mission, you must acquire a certain number of orbs per mission or your ranking is lowered. Don't use a yellow orb. Don't use a vital star. Don't use an untouchable. Kill all the enemies in the path. Sticking to the mission objective, do not leave a room while enemies are still alive. And then some missions have specific penalties. You know, like you can't let the melancholy soul lose its charge and things like that. So getting an S ranking is very difficult, and it doesn't just have to do with combat.
So that's in terms of the combat. During the combat itself, what is it that's affecting what you're doing?
Your combo. I've got this.
Your straight combo.
Thank you.
So, repeatedly using the same moves causes the gauge to stop rising, forcing the player to use every move in their arsenal. The gauge terms are similar to the grades given at the end of missions. When Dante receives damage, the style rating resets back to dull. Players can also maintain their style grade by taunting enemies at close range.
Oh, that's what I
would occasionally taunt somebody instead of attack them, and then I get my ass kicked.
I didn't even know there was a taunt.
Yeah, I don't remember what button it is. But he, like, holds his hand out and tells him to come towards him.
R2? L2 or R2? One of those?
Can we talk about the underwater combat?
Jesus Christ, underwater controls are terrible in this game.
First person shite. Oh my God.
Inverted controls, you press triangle to swim forward.
And then you get, like, a harpoon gun.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's not in it very much, but... just annoying.
Dan, you were saying when you obviously beat this before we did, and you said that the difficulty kind of spikes. I found the difficulty in this game to be very... it varied a lot. It went from some missions were super easy. Yeah, inconsistent. That's what I'm looking for. I got stuck on mission 4 for 4 days.
Is mission 4 by any chance the weird Reaper boss with the scissors?
No. It's the first time that you fight Angelo.
Oh, right. He's easy.
Yeah, I did him first time, too. I was surprised when you said you
struggled. Don't know why I struggled on it. And then as soon as I talked to Mike, and Mike's like, yeah, you got to roll around. I went back in, and I didn't roll around at all, but I beat him first go that fourth day.
Yeah, rolling around a lot is the key to beating this game. Now,
but
how far did you two get?
Mission 21.
So
of 23, which is really frustrating.
I made it to 16. We had company over last night, and my daughter's having a sleepover. And when we put them to bed, I was going to go play and finish up. But then her friend didn't want to sleep in the same room with her, so she had to go sleep in my game room. So I did not get to finish.
Now, that boss I was on about with the scissors in the waterways, like that was when I nearly rage crit, which because it was just so irritating.
I got him second go.
It took me at least 5 tries.
No, that's definitely not. The key to that one, and it took me a while to figure this out, but when he goes into that mode where he's like flying through the walls and spinning down on you, if you hold R1, Dante will track where he's going to come from, even if he's through the wall. And then you just wait till Dante tracks onto him and he doesn't move around in a circle anymore, and you just roll to one direction and you'll be fine.
I just found like the because it's in such a tight room and the camera angle, it was just really irritating.
Air Raid is your friend on that one.
Yeah. I just kind of got lucky in the end.
So the reason I brought up the difficulty spike on it is that there are secret difficulty modes. So I think halfway through, no, after mission 5, they unlock easy mode, meaning that a lot of the combinations just happen. You know, you don't need to press R1 for a lot of certain things. But Once you beat the game, you can get hard mode, where the enemy sets change, boss stamina has, bosses have more stamina, and then Dante inflicts minimal damage. Then, once you beat that, there's a game mode called the Legendary Dark Knight, where actually you unlock a character with that. So, once you defeat hard mode, you get Dante Must Die mode, which, let me summarize this here. You carry all your weapons and skills gathered in the previous game. The enemy sets are the same as in hard mode, but occasionally a 30-second timer appears when entering a room. When the timer elapses, all the enemies still alive go into Devil Trigger mode.
Oh, Christ.
And then red ribbons of energy swirl around them. Enemies only take damage if Dante is in Devil Trigger mode himself. In addition, boss enemies only take damage when Dante is in Devil Trigger mode.
Oh, Christ.
And then, get this, if you beat that, you get Super Dante mode. So you can select a new character to begin another ladder play on the loading screen. Dante Ripple's supernatural power. It's the same as regular Dante, only his devil gauge never loses power. So playing through the entire game in Devil Trigger mode.
That sounds quite fun.
But you got to beat Dante Must Die mode. There's no way I'd have the patience for that.
No, me either. At least you keep your upgrades. At least it doesn't give you straight back to the start, you know?
Yeah.
With the mission structure, it doesn't surprise me that they have all these difficulty modes.
It's it is made for replayability, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So, can we talk some of the bosses? So, Eric, sure. Obviously you've mentioned that knight, which you struggled with.
I struggled with the spider the first time around. Because I didn't understand how to attack him.
That guy. Yeah, you kind of have to hit him in the face, don't you?
Well, you got to hit him on the back.
No, you don't.
No, you hit him in the face.
Oh, no, I was jumping up on his back because he couldn't hit you when you were on his back, and then I was just slicing away up there.
Oh, interesting. No, you just take out his face. Trigger mode, go up to his face. Bish, bash, bosh.
Real good nosh.
Huh.
But he was a right pain in the ass because he kept showing up all the time, and then you had these like timed kind of corridor segments where he would fireballs at you and did ridiculous damage.
It reminded me of the giant spider boss from Final Fantasy VIII when it came through the corridor.
Oh, yeah. But less mechanoid.
Mm.
There's only four bosses in this game, but you fight each of them. Well,
yeah, that's what annoyed me about it, because you have to fight them multiple times.
I liked it, though, because they gained new strategies. Like, the second time you fight the Phantom, it's in a bigger open world and you don't have the pillars to hide behind, and then he starts doing this rain of meteor showers and it just requires you to kind of change up your strategy. And then after that, miniature Phantoms start showing up around the world that you have to fight too.
Did you anybody get like up Nightmare? To the I hate Nightmare. It is the worst boss ever.
Nightmare?
It's the giant gelatinous blob that you have to hit the seals on the side of the room to for his disco ball to come out for you to hit.
I don't think I got that far. What mission was that in?
Consider yourself lucky. You have to fight it three times.
Oh, you know what? That was in the harder. That was in the Colosseum, wasn't it?
No. That was Griffin.
No, the first time you fight him is in the same room you first fight Phantom in the Cathedral. It's a huge, like, gelatinous blob.
Yeah, because
so
I'm
what
looking
happens
right,
at this?
I'm looking right what now, and that's right where I was after the Cathedral.
Okay, so what happens at the start of the fight is if you wander into him, he can suck you down into like a world, a different world where you have to fight a mini boss and giant skulls. And if you do that, the seals at the side of the room stay on for longer. But it's really frustrating to have to do that. And then he has a moveset, which is just really unfair.
But like, the seals, you have to be able to actually attack him, you have to attack the seals on the side of the room. And it's those, you know, those seals that sometimes unlock doors where you have to hit them several times? It's those. So sometimes you would go over there, and if Nightmare was too close to you, that Dante's auto-lock would start trying to attack him, and you'd end up losing health because you're trying to attack the seal.
I died so many times to this boss. It's just so frustrating. Then, because Mike says, like, this disco ball pops out of him and you have to attack that, but at the same time, you're dodging his attacks. So you have a very limited amount of time to actually get in some damage in. The third one, which, Mike, I think you're about up to, is
No, I've literally just passed it.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
You're in a tiny room barely any room to move. You have to be perfect with your dodges.
And if you get sucked down, if you get sucked down into this other world on this one, you're fighting. What's that knight's name, Eric?
Nello Angelo.
Yeah, you have to fight him again, and then go back up and finish off Nightmare.
But that knight is actually Virgil.
Spoilers!
Oh, Virgil, Virgil named after Virgil.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, am I allowed to spoil the end of the game, or do
well,
you do
yeah, I'm gonna finish it because I'm literally two missions from the end. So, but yeah, go ahead.
So you find Mr. Pubic Bone eventually,
fatty mass,
and. And to the surprise of nobody, Trish betrays you, and basically she ends up getting killed, you think, but not really. Apparently she's a clone of his mother or something to that effect. And then you go into this big church area, and there's a giant statue of Mundus, and he then comes out of this statue, and it turns into a kind of flying bullet hell game, which is just bizarre. So he's away from you and you're flying in your demon form and you can shoot like forwards at him, kind of. I can't describe it.
Okay.
And then, so you have to do that. And then after that bit, you crash down into like kind of this fire lake with platforms around the edge and you have to fight him again. He's like this big thing in the middle. And you have a stronger devil trigger, which fires fireballs. Or you can get up close to him and attack him. But he has a lot of really unfair attacks, again. Which are very, very hard to dodge. And I died a lot of times to him as well. But if you fail that boss, you have to go back and do the bullet hell one again to get to that boss again.
Ugh.
Even
if you have yellow stones?
Well, not if you have yellow stones, no. But I actually died enough that I ran out. So, yeah, and then kind of...
Well, after that, Dante and Trish escape. The island collapses. Then they rename the Devil May Cry shop, because that's where the name of the game comes from, which doesn't even make sense. They rename it to Devil Never Cry.
It is actually called Devil May Cry, because he says something to her about how devils never don't cry, so she's become a human rather than a devil.
So the devil may not cry.
It yes. might.
Is the takeaway
now,
for this.
Now, right, the end of the game, you do fight Mundus one last time, you know, in the waterways, where you have in that room where all the things come out the vents. You fight him again in there, and after beating him, the place starts to collapse in standard B-movie fashion. And you know that plane you saw ages ago?
Yes.
Where it's hanging from the rafters, actually falls down, you get in it and drive it through caverns at top speed. It's ridiculous. Like, everything's falling down. He doesn't know where he's going. It's kind of like a shooting thing again. You have to shoot down rocks and things like that. And I was like, this is insane. And they escape the castle. And then they're going out. And they have the cheesiest discussion. Right? This is what they say. So Trish goes, "The sky, so clear, so blue." Dante, "The sky is fair. And it'll always be above everybody's head. No different. Like the sky. I feel like my heart is becoming clear."
Oh my god.
Let's not forget, though. The underworld's evil is still alive. They will someday return. "There's no need to worry, right? Because the world has got the legendary Dark Knight Dante. And his sidekick."
Wait, Trish was Robin all along?
Yes.
No.
And Dante was Batman. And Eric, we couldn't play through this game just by pressing square.
No, you definitely couldn't. You definitely needed triangle in this one.
Oh, God, the dialogue so bad. But overall, you know, I quite enjoyed it.
It's standard fare for a game. Capcom game.
Mm. Yeah. I thought I was going to hate it at first. I absolutely thought I was going to hate it when I booted
it. Me too,
it.
Like, but it grew on me.
Yeah.
It's definitely an enjoyable game.
I'm giving it not a hearty pip-pip, but a decent pip-pip.
A single pip.
Yes. I would go far as a pip-pip.
Oh, okay.
Pip.
Just pip from Eric.
If you guys want a true challenge, play the original version of Devil May Cry 3 before they did the collector or the special edition.
Why was it really difficult?
It was so hard that they had to, I think I mentioned this in the last show, so difficult that they had to release a special edition that I think either gave you more yellow orbs or reduced the overall difficulty of the game.
Wow.
I'm going to try.
I kind of want to play a 2 and 3.
Let's see. Special edition.
See, yeah, I'm debating playing because obviously I got the HD collection, so I have them.
Now, have you guys played DMC, the reboot?
This is my first Devil May Cry game ever.
I played it now, when it was free on PSN.
DMC is actually really good. Like, the combat is... like, Mike, I think it's more like you expect it to be.
Okay.
So, but a lot of people couldn't see past the redesign of Dante, but Capcom has came on record as saying as DMC is kind of its own thing, like an alternate universe kind of take on it. So, I think it really works. It's a very good game. I went back and tried it after this one.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at the special edition of Devil May Cry 3. The game difficulty modes were shifted down so that the special edition's normal is equivalent to the original's easy mode. And a new very hard mode was added to replace the original hard mode.
And that was that PS2 or PS3?
PS2.
PS2, man. That's the old expensive way of patching your game, I guess.
I remember playing DMC3 when it first came out, and I did not make it far.
Standard, that's you with most games, Eric.
Yeah, just know the controls.
I figured out the controls back then.
What changed?
I lost interest. Controls happen to other people.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it definitely is worth a go.
It's a bit of a grower. Not a shower.
Yeah, it's kind of off-putting at the very beginning. Like, Well, you've got these weird characters. We never really talked much about the enemies, but a major enemy throughout the game are these marionettes that, you know, sometimes are laying on the side of the room and then they'll animate. And it's interesting. It's weird. It's kind of a odd enemy to have within this.
It's an odd game in general, but it's just got to take for what it is, over the top. Kind of.
If you just remember just how Japanese it is, you're fine.
Now, fellas, if you had to give a Shabbos out of 10, how many Shabbos would you give it?
Shalom Shabbos out of 10.
Good answer.
I can't help that. Should we move on to some questions?
Yeah, we don't have many, if I'm honest.
If you want to send us a...
We have, well, 3 technically, but one of them's silly. Jeremy Sanford, what games in your life were you super excited about, only to be disappointed by once you actually got to play it?
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky would be one of them. Just trying to think here. Give me a second. That probably required
Resident
a little bit.
Resident Evil 6 for me, because I love the Resident Evil series. 4 was great. 5 was kind of, you know, it was all right, and then all of the trailers for 6 were making it out like it was returning to its roots. It was kind of combining the old style with the new style, and when you actually got it, it was just fucking awful. And I think that was more the marketing was wrong rather than necessarily too much excitement for it, but I was really, really ready for that. And it was the first game I'd got day one in years and started playing it, and Jesus.
Off the top of my head, I can think of Doom 3,
Destiny 2.
Oh, shut up.
I've
been serious. You got me excited about it, and then it was absolute dire.
Well, because you didn't play with anyone.
It's just rubbish.
Ratchet and Clank, All for One. Love the Ratchet and Clank series, but then it became a pseudo tower defense dungeon crawler game that didn't really work very well.
I tell you what game is disappointing a lot of people right now, though. Fallout 76. Oh my god.
What a shit show.
I was half expecting Bethesda to be like, you were just going to pull the plug on this here.
They can't.
Oh man.
They're selling a full priced game which is full of even more bugs than usual. It's just getting worse and worse for them.
It didn't bode well from it from the start, because you know the beta test, there was a bug in some of the beta testing that just deleted the entire game from your console.
Wow, good effort. Did you hear about the glitch where somebody couldn't die?
No.
Yeah, just this person just they wanted to die because they couldn't die. So taking all the challenge out of the game, no matter what happened, nothing could kill them. There's a section of the map which is so irradiated that it kills you instantly, and he could just walk around it.
Great. Was that a like a permanent thing, or was he just for that one time that he was signed in?
No, permanent. Every time he logged in. Immortal.
So, to not shit on it too much, the one thing that I've heard about it that is going well for it is apparently the community playing it are actually really great. It is really great. There's not a lot of arseholes on it yet. And I told you guys about this on WhatsApp the other day of two examples. Is there's one person who every time they sign in, where you come out of the vault, they've like set themselves up a table there, and they're just finding guns and items on the map, going back to this table. And then when people start playing the game for the first time and come out the vault, they're there greeting them and like saying, "Oh, here, take some weapons. I advise going that way," and things like that.
See, people do this on them Dark Souls. Like they intentionally wait to help people. And then, drop items and things.
And I'm the one that leaves a marker on the ground that says, "Jump here!" And it's just to your death.
That's one me, guy too. Who, he's, because there's no real NPCs in the game either. But there's one guy who's modded, he's playing on PC and he's modded it so that his character looks like Preston Garvey from Fallout 4. And he's modded, like, the sound bites in and just goes around telling people that, like, another settlement needs the help.
Yeah. So an article on the other side of the coin, an article on Eurogamer really got traction yesterday because they ran a story about how this group of homophobic high schoolers going around targeting people who they were claiming were gay and things like that. It was a bad time.
Well, did you hear the response of one of the guys in there? He's like, "Yeah, I'm not sorry about it. And if given the opportunity to apologize, I wouldn't." It's just fun immaturity. Yeah.
I hate people.
That's kind of why I've stopped doing a lot of online gaming. It's just such a vitriolic community.
First thing I do if I play online gaming is mute everybody. Can't be bothered with it.
Oh, I just thought of an answer for, was that Jeremy Sanford's question?
Yes.
Final Fantasy 13.
I still very much enjoyed it.
We went off on a tangent, but I was going to actually say that the first ever time I played Final Fantasy IX was on that list for me, because I didn't like that when I first played it. But go on. 13.
Well, 13 was, you know, kind of like when Final Fantasy X came out on the PS2. It's the first Final Fantasy on a new console. Like, this is going to change the way Final Fantasy plays. And for 10, it did, because it introduced full 3D graphics and voiceovers and pre-rendered cutscenes. Everything was incredible about it. And then you see all this stuff about 13 and how it was kind of in development for a super long time alongside Ajito, which turned into Type Zero HD and all this other crap. But when it finally came out, it's like, this is just a fucking hallway. It's 40 hours of pressing forward and occasionally X. The combat was okay, but it just didn't scratch that Final Fantasy itch.
You thought the combat was okay?
I don't get this, because the original Final Fantasies are linear as well. To a point.
Yeah, but you still have that open world that you can go and explore. Any Final Fantasy is still very linear in its progression.
You still can't go many places on the map at the start.
Okay, but that was done in 83? This is done in 2009.
I understand. I still very much enjoyed it. I think the sequels
there definitely was. Yeah, there definitely was more focus on production value than quality of product, and staying true to the franchise itself. And it was great. Despite their cliche demeanor, I liked the characters in there. It was a neat story. It was a neat concept. It got a little convoluted at times, but when you wanted that traditional Final Fantasy feel of like, hey, I'm going to go to this shop in this town and I'm going to upgrade my weapons. I'm going to go grind some enemies out and level up my characters and learn these skills and then go on to this next portion of the game. You didn't have shops. You just had little computers that you could access on the offshoot of yet another straight hallway. And after you've put 45, 50 hours into it, then you get to Grand Pulse and you're like, well, I'm burned out on this, that I don't even want to enjoy the new pseudo open world aspect of it.
There was the level caps, wasn't it, as you went through as well? Like,
yes.
There were points where you couldn't get any higher. I hated that. But interesting video to watch. Gerard Khalil, who's the completionist on YouTube, he does a series of videos called Defend It, where if he has like a unpopular opinion about a game, like if he, well, a game that's generally seen as a bad game and he actually really likes it, he does this thing where he sets up like kind of like a courtroom kind of thing where he will defend the game and the reasons why he thinks it's actually good. And he did a very interesting one on Final Fantasy 13 that's worth a watch.
I'll have to take a peek at that. I liked it. You know, I went on to play 13.2 and 13.3, but just in general, I was really excited for it because it was coming down off 12, and that was fantastic. It had taken to this next level. Were they going to go
fantastic
from here?
That he didn't play it.
I didn't finish it, but yeah. I played it, just didn't finish it.
Now, I'm going to throw in Metal Gear Solid 5 here as well. Now, I liked it
from
the most
one.
Part until it completely fell apart.
You could definitely tell where in the game Kojima discovered that this was the last one and they were pushing him out. It's like, and I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm going to put my name at the beginning of every mission and at the end of every mission. And then, oh yeah, you remember those 15 missions you played earlier? We're going to play them again.
Such a shame.
Yeah, really is. Because the gameplay on that game is phenomenal as well. It just, if you're a fan of the series and a fan of the story, it just leaves such a bitter taste in your mouth.
I'm thinking older consoles. Gran Turismo on PSP was kind of a big letdown.
I remember being disappointed with Crash Bash.
Crash Bash.
It's a party game. You guys have played it on the show.
We have.
I would say that some people would probably answer this with, you know, to some extent the original Fable, but to more Fable 2. And I think a lot of that has to do with Peter Molyneux and his ability to overhype things.
Yeah.
You know, I keep coming back
imagine
to the...
Imagine if he'd been involved in No Man's Sky.
Oh, my God. Well, I keep coming back to that promise that he made. He's like, if you plant an acorn, and you'll come back later in the game and you'll see it blossom into a full tree. Like, well, that shit, you know, stuff like that, how are you going to prove that? And it didn't happen. And just shit like that just kept coming. And he promised this incredible game. And, you know, Fable 1 was still great by all accounts. It just...
That probably wouldn't have been too hard to implement, you know, if it was just a quest. Then just grows into a tree.
Yeah, but, you know, it's that one promise that just kind of pulled everything down. And, you know, it was still okay. Mass Effect, any of the Mass Effect games that I played, I was disappointed by. I finally gave 2 a shot. I'm like, well, this just isn't what I wanted.
I still need to finish Andromeda.
I still need to open Andromeda. I bought it off your recommendation, and then I got it and just put it on the shelf.
I just kind of stopped playing. I don't like it as much as the original trilogy, but now that they've sort of fixed it, it's playable.
I think Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts was kind of a letdown, too.
Oh, yeah. Dragon Age 2 was absolute cack.
Oh my God, yeah. Duke Nukem Forever. Did you guys play that when it came out? Best part of that game was picking the turd out of the toilet and writing on the wall with it.
It's quite symbolic of how the game was came out in the end.
Some people would probably say Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
I didn't even touch
bigger
that.
Than the actual game.
Yeah.
And it was still broken.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of flipping through here.
Have you guys seen like Tony Hawk on his Twitter account, like moments where he never gets recognized because people don't recognize him, so he goes to the supermarket and be like, oh, Tony Hawk, oh, I like the skateboarder, wonder what he's up to now. And he's like stood there like this. And it happens to him all the time. It's hilarious. There's a compilation of them somewhere of like all his Twitter posts where this has happened to him. It's so funny.
Dan, you could probably say pretty much any Sonic the Hedgehog game.
Yeah.
Any 3D one. Yeah.
Sonic 06 I was bitterly disappointed in.
I could piss a lot of people off and say Resident Evil 4.
Now, that probably will piss a lot of people off. But you're entitled to an opinion, Eric. Yeah. And it's okay being wrong sometimes.
I'm not wrong. It's a bad game.
It's not a bad game.
It's a bad game.
But you view it from the fact that it's a departure for the Resident Evil series, which, yes, it is. I will agree. And you always go, yeah, but it's... Every time I say to you, why don't you like it? You go, because it's not a Resident Evil game. That doesn't make it a bad game. It's still a fantastic game.
I probably need to revisit it.
Well, we need... Well, on the Resident Evil series, you guys did 3 last, didn't you? So be Code Veronica next if you're going to do them sequentially?
Yeah.
Right, moving on. Mark Marchesi, do you cry when angels deserve to die?
Yes.
Okay. shout out.
Where's Tom again. When you need dickhole? Next question.
Yeah. shout out for the System of a Down reference. I'll let him have that. Anyway, old piss eyes himself, Zach Fawley. poor guy.
That poor kid.
Well, yeah, true. Sorry. Devil May Cry or the 3D Ninja Gaiden. If you need to compare, it's really easy to play either the backwards compatible Game Pass free NG Black or the very cheap PS3 NG Sigma, just saying. I've never played a Ninja Gaiden game.
I think I prefer Devil May Cry over Ninja Gaiden.
I quite like Ninja Gaiden. It's very difficult.
Yes. I did download Ninja Gaiden Black on Game Pass when I got it. I don't know.
You'd like it, Eric. It's very gory.
Oh, I know. I've played it. I played it when it first came out, too. But I don't know. Maybe I just like the style of DMC better.
I'm looking forward, because I'm not going to go ahead and play them now, because I will inevitably play them for the show at some point. But I'm looking forward to playing the second and third games. After playing this one, even though I haven't finished this.
Apparently, two, from what I recall and what I was just looking at aggregated scores here, two is less than good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Surprises me.
Yeah.
Three is a prequel, I think.
Mm. Yeah, two averaged like a 68 or a 5 out of 10 on average. Like 68 Metacritic, and then a lot of the scores averaged out between 5 and 6. So
interesting.
Yeah. Other questions?
That's it.
Let me read out Scale Enley's email here that we referenced earlier in the show. You want to send us an email, factorysealed@manatank.com. It's a really old reference for those of you who've been with us for 6 years. Scale, where is your email? Fill it in with some North Coral Dan. Here we go. I got it. Dearest Factory Sealed. Dearest Factory Sealed. I write to you. You done?
Yes. Come on, Daniel. Respect the email.
I write to you in a state of dire melancholy. It has been many years since Terranigma was first discussed as a game worthy of delving into, but alas, we are yet to receive such a blessing. I fear I may not last. Darkness consumes me. All is lost. Do not weep for me, Factory Sealed crew, your biggest fan, for life is but a fleeting moment of light betwixt unending darkness, and we are all but shadows and dust. Do not mourn for the millions, nay, billions of loyal followers crying out in vain in perpetual grief for a Terranigma episode. Instead, shed a tear for the gourmet Australian beer that shall never pass your lips. The cool, crisp taste of premium Australian lager from the Strzelecki Ranges, the very beating heart of South Gippsland, that could have been yours, but sadly never will be. Alas, alas, my brethren, alas. Sincere Scale Enley. He wants us to play Terranigma, and he'll send us beer.
You think? Now, there's one thing I just want to pick up on there. The first thing that stood out to me.
Betwixt?
Millions of listeners? I don't think so.
Well, we've had a total of a couple million listens over the course of the year.
All right, I'll give you that.
I can give you an exact number. Well, actually, no, because when we migrated hosts, we lost all of our original statistics.
And also Google Play is against us.
I don't know what's up with that.
I mean, if you listen on Google Play, you probably can't hear this, but yeah, it's fucked.
And that is nothing that we can do about it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you give someone a workaround on the group recently?
Yeah, you listen to it on Google Podcasts, not Google Play.
Yeah, that's it.
So, what other bits and bobs do we need to touch?
We want to talk about our social media, son.
Take it away, social media manager!
Social media manager hat is on. I would like to talk to you about our social media.
So, nerd.
Right, so we do have a lot of social media accounts, but we haven't been busy with them, and we are going to try and rectify this in the near future. So first of all, rectify, yes, thank you. So we'd like you all to please follow us. So first of all, first and foremost, we have Factory Sealed Podcast Community on Facebook, which is really active. We love that and everything, but we want... So we've got Instagram now as well, which is Factory Sealed Podcast. Twitter, at @factory_sealed, I believe. Because somebody stole it, right, Eric?
Yes.
And I think that's it for now, but we'd appreciate you to follow us. And as always, if you could leave us a review, we'd greatly appreciate that as well, because we don't get many reviews. And I understand it's because iTunes is a ball ache. Not everybody listens on iTunes and stuff like that, but it makes us look better. And we know that we have a lot of avid listeners. And we like interacting with people on social media and stuff like that. Like, we aren't just these kind of people who just do social media just for the hell of it, just to promote ourselves. We do actually genuinely take part in our Facebook community every single day, probably.
Yeah, if you want the true community experience, you know, pop in and join the gaming or the podcast community. That's, I think, where we spend a majority of our time and focus. But, you know, we need to branch out for Instagram. And I don't think we're going to do a whole ton on Twitter, but, you know, I think Instagram is more our speed with what we do, because a lot of what we do is picture based. And
Twitter.
So yeah, we still follow us, please.
Yeah,
we still have a competition on the go, I believe, as well, Eric.
We do. I was actually on the verge of canceling this. I know that a lot of people were planning stuff, but nothing ever really got submitted. And then at the last minute, Dan C. Gilbert decided to submit an incredibly glorious photo, which then sparked off a few more. So we are going to extend the PlayStation Classic show or the competition until the next show. So you have 2 more weeks to submit your pictures to win a PlayStation Classic. But don't listen to what we said about it earlier in the show, because I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes.
Loads of really good games on there.
It's for the very, very low price of free. All you got to do is put something between your legs.
And at the worst, you can just leave it on your shelf, sealed.
I'm looking up at my NES and Super Nintendo Classic right now. They look great up there.
Yeah, okay. Enjoy them while they last. Ceremonial and sealing sword is coming.
Jesus Christ. You have no idea. Next show, December 16th, we are tackling the original Just Cause.
Why, though?
Just because.
All right.
That would have been a much better game title for the game. You guys just get because. That new Just Because! Doesn't quite have the same play on words to it. I'm quite looking forward to going back to that. I bought it on 360, so that one came out for PS2, Xbox, and then 360. So it was a game that kind of bridged the gap between the console generations. And you could tell when they did that, they just took the old game and like, yeah, slap some new textures on it and make it look good so we can sell more of these 360s.
Eric.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Carry on. No, I was changing subject. I didn't realize you hadn't finished. Go on.
I played the first mission of it, and it actually holds up pretty well. And it's really cool to see that the Just Cause series, which Just Cause 4 comes out Tuesday, it hasn't strayed a whole lot from the original formula, and it's still a frickin' blast. So I'm really looking forward to digging back into this. But Mike, go ahead, change subject.
Sorry, yeah, it's changed subject. If we're doing that on the 16th, are we skipping the 30th due to the holidays and then coming back on the 13th, or are we doing Game of the Year for on the 30th? Or
I mean, I'll be back in town on the 30th, so we can do the 30th.
Well, it's kind of up to everyone, really, like what they want to do over the holidays and stuff. So, yeah, obviously, it's Tom's first holiday away from home, I guess, isn't it? So,
yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Because then we'll do the 13th, and then a show will fall right on the week that you guys are supposed to be here. So, if we stick to the current schedule,
you want to do Ace Combat at some point, didn't you?
I would like to do Ace Combat on the 13th.
The so new one of that's coming out for VR.
Yeah, I can't wait. Ace Combat 7's gonna be the tits.
I might have to.
Imagine doing a barrel roll, Mike.
That comes out January 18th. So we can
so
do...
So our Game of the Year show will be 30th, yeah?
I think we should do it on the 30th, yeah. That way we don't really need to play anything.
Sweet. Sounds good.
And we won't promise to write articles that never get done this year.
Yeah.
We just won't write them at all.
Okay, yeah, so Just Cause and then the 30th and then the 13th. So the next two games are Just Cause and then Ace Combat, and then I don't think we're going to play anything for our Phoenix Live show, are we?
I should probably try and do something. Just maybe not something as important as Mario 64 like last time.
I mean, we could even play games as part of the show.
Well, I've got something planned that I'm going to be bringing some stuff from work that'll make a whole lot of that easier. Set up in the kitchen, have all of us around the table, and then have a mobile TV stand, like a mobile TV on a cart at the end of the table that we can have stuff set up and hooked up to, so we can all be sitting around the table and playing and doing that stuff. So we got it taken care of.
Sweet.
Bukkake party.
Yes. Did you just say like a lemon party?
No, I said bukkake party, which is just as bad.
A bukkake lemon party.
Ooh.
Well, on that note, fellas...
Shut up!